against the flames, pointed her finger. The flames surged forward.
No! I'm not sacrificing Derek for this!
I raised Ceres, the Song of Harmony, and I willed it to work. The white fire arced, shifting course in midair straight into Ceres's blade. I didn't wait an instant. I could see Saffron turning, throwing Derek off. I lowered my arm to strike.
Haste! Jump! Jump! Jump!
The force of activating the ring repeatedly threw me forward with a speed I couldn't possibly control. But I didn't need to. I'd already aimed. I jammed Ceres right through the center of Saffron's chest. There was an explosion of incendiary whiteness as the stored spell was released. And when my vision cleared, a spherical hole larger than a fist was missing from the center of Saffron's chest. Saffron stared at me in shock. I pulled the sword back and swung again, aiming for his neck. He raised an arm and deflected the blow, almost casually. The sword cut into his flesh, but... Saffron shook his head, grinning through blood-stained teeth. Where his hand had been burned by touching the sword, the wound was already gone. The hole in his chest was beginning to close, and even the cut I just made on his arm was almost closed.
No.
I screamed, swinging the sword again and again. He blocked every strike with his arms. He was healing faster than I could hurt him. And then, with sudden force, he struck back. I'd never felt my ribs buckle like that before. I fell backward, hit the floor, and rolled. The sword tumbled from my fingers.
That, I heard Saffron say, was incredible.
The tyrant's child burst into laughter. My coughing produced blood. That seemed bad. My silver phoenix sigil was active, already working to try to fix my injuries, but it only had a fraction of the power of the Ring of Regeneration, and even the ring took time to address broken bones. I'd left the ring with Sarah. In retrospect, that had been a costly mistake. With effort, I managed to push myself over to face upward. I tried to reach for Ceres. Derek ducked down and picked it up first.
Not my first choice of a weapon, but it'll do.
Derek cracked his neck. The left side of his chest was stained with blood now, and I couldn't tell how much of it was his.
You already tried that. It didn't work.
Saffron shook his head.
At least be creative.
Creativity has its place, of course, but in the absence of good ideas, I usually find that hitting something hard enough repeatedly will solve the problem.
Derek grinned.
And I've noticed something.
Saffron tilted his head to the side.
Oh?
You're healing slower than you were a few minutes ago.
Derek pointed Ceres at him.
I think you're running out of mana.
Saffron growled.
Not possible.
Derek stepped to the side. Away from me and probably deliberately. How generous.
Oh? So you have an infinite supply of mana?
I doubt that. We all have our limits. Derek tilted his head downward.
And I think you're dangerously close to hitting yours.
I managed to cast a glance to the other side of the room toward Alora. She had collapsed against a wall and fallen to the ground. I wasn't sure if she was even conscious. She clearly already had been low on mana before she'd thrown that incredible spell. Whatever she'd cast had taken what she'd had left, and probably more. I couldn't move more than a hair. I'd burned nearly all of my mana just trying to get free from Saffron's compulsion. It was down to Derek now. And Derek was, from the looks of it, pretty badly injured himself. Saffron moved. It was the slightest thing, just a hint of a step forward. Derek took the bait, swinging at Saffron's outstretched hand. Saffron sidestepped the blow and caught Ceres's blade. Then he slammed a palm into Derek's jaw, knocking him back, and tearing Ceres free from his grip.
Tavare!
Derek said, coughing as he stumbled backward.
Your summoned monsters are useless,
Saffron said, as he hurled the sword into a nearby wall. Ceres pierced through the stone, embedded to the hilt.
I call you!
A slight variation in phrasing, I realized. No elemental appeared at his side. Instead, a gleaming sword flew down the stairs and toward Derek's outstretched hand. Saffron turned and grabbed for the hilt. The sword shifted mid-air and moved out of the way. Then Derek was armed.
Much better.
Derek stepped forward, swinging at a diagonal, and projected a wave of cutting force. Saffron sidestepped the shockwave, but Derek twitched a hand, and the energy followed Saffron's path. Saffron raised his hands just in time to block the impact. It left long gouges along his arms.
Just as I expected. You can't absorb kinetic energy.
He swung his sword again, horizontally this time. Another shockwave flew out, but this one stretched, then split apart, each one flying to hit Saffron from a different angle.
You have become an irritation, Saffron pronounced. I don't like to do this, but I'm afraid I'm going to have to resort to taking this a fraction more seriously.
Saffron clapped his hands.
A shame, really. I'd like to...
Derek blurred forward and slashed Saffron across the throat. Saffron flickered as the sword passed through him, and I realized what that meant at the same moment that Derek must have. Illusion. Another Saffron appeared behind Derek a moment later, and then slammed a fist into his back. Derek stumbled and fell to his knees.
As I was saying, I try not to use magic actively, because it spoils the thrill of the hunt. But you're exceptional for a human. Even if the other humans did wear me down a bit first.
Derek spun around, bringing the sword upward in a rising slash. Saffron caught the sword between his palms, then shoved backward. Derek stumbled, running into something. A second Saffron, who spun him around and punched him in the face. Derek fell to his knees again, lips bloody.
Illusions? Simulacra?
Derek spat blood, shaking his head.
Can't fight me with just one of you?
Saffron smiled.
I could, of course, but you're getting special treatment since you've done so very well.
One Saffron threw a punch, which Derek sidestepped and responded to with a series of rapid slashes. The other Saffron folded his hands together. They began to glow red. My ribs were still burning. My hand was still barely functional from all the mana I'd used. But I could not just lie here and watch Derek get beaten to death. I couldn't stand, but Reshit, I could crawl. I slowly began to pull myself across the floor toward the wall where Saris had impacted. I didn't think I had any chance of doing much with it, but maybe I could get it back to Derek. He was trained at fighting with two swords. Another Saffron appeared in front of me.
Where do you think you're going?
He reached down and lifted me by the throat.
You managed to do me considerable harm earlier, young man.
Saffron shook his head.
That was uncalled for. I think it's time I return the favor,
For the second time in a day, I charged transference mana into my forehead and slammed it into someone. It was considerably more effective than I expected. In fact, it erased a good portion of the false Saffron's face. He dropped me, falling back and reaching upward toward the eyes that had just been evaporated. As tough as the original Saffron was, simulacra were made of mana, enhancement mana, or a derivative of it, and transference mana, my favorite for attacking, was the exact opposite. I fell to the floor, rolled to avoid the simulacrum stomping a foot on me, and drew the transference sword straight into a swing. I cut his legs off at the knees. The Saffron simulacrum fell to the ground, and I rolled on top of him, jamming the sword into his back. The simulacrum vanished. I turned my head back toward the other fight. Derek was falling back, being attacked by three different copies of Saffron, striking him from different sides. I pointed my sword at the nearest Saffron, focused the energy in the tip of my sword, and pushed. It blasted a hole right through the simulacrum's back. Incredulous, it turned toward me. Derek swept his sword through its neck a moment later.
We can do this, I told myself. I just need to...
Another Saffron appeared next to me. I slashed at him out of reflex. He caught the sword in his hand, lifting it.
Interesting.
Then he snapped it in half. Oh. Saffron, the actual Saffron, leaned down with a half-broken sword in his hands. I heard a noise toward the entrance, briefly turning my eyes in that direction. Saffron placed the sword against the center of my chest, the broken blade's edge beginning to glow with white light, brighter and brighter.
I think it's only fair that I do to you what you did to me. Symmetry is important.
He nodded to himself.
Any last words?
I managed a slight smile. Kara Salarian is right behind you. Saffron went still, then laughed.
As far as last words go.
A hand landed on Saffron's shoulder, then spun him around.
Oh.
The punch that followed carried Saffron across the room, into the mansion wall, and then through the same stone wall. I looked up at Karis, coughed, and then smiled. Hey! Karis reached down and pulled me to my feet, then turned toward where a very much alive Saffron was walking back through the hole in the wall.
I'll take things from here.
Saffron clapped his hands together. An aura of white flame began to swirl around him.
What was it again?
Oh no. The flames intensified, swirling around Saffron in a nexus of fire.
Ah, yes.
He pointed his hand at Karis.
Rage of the god Phoenix.
The aura of flames formed a soaring bird, rushing over Saffron and then following his pointed hand toward us. Karis stepped in the way. His aura shifted in the same way I'd seen it move 100 times before, forming a blade of energy around his right hand. He cut the spell in half. The remaining streams of white fire flew to either side of him, impacting against the back wall of the house and burning a pair of holes straight through it. I stared in disbelief. Karis tilted his head downward.
Saffron? Karis?
Saffron spat a mouthful of blood onto the floor.
This is a surprise.
The swordsman put a hand on the hilt of his sword.
I'll give you a fair opportunity to leave.
Derek swung his sword in an arc, dispatching the last of the simulacra.
Are you kidding? This guy wrecked my house, Karis. Also, less importantly, he may have killed Alora.
Karis took a step towards Saffron, drawing his sword just an inch out of the scabbard.
Leave.
Saffron's eyes scanned across the room. Alora, Derek, Karis, me.
I'll remember this. I'll remember all of you.
Then he snapped his fingers and vanished. Derek glanced from side to side.
I seriously think I'm going to need a new house.
Then he collapsed, senseless, to the mansion floor. There's something absolutely terrifying about not being able to move. Saffron's magic had forced me to remain sitting. Now I had to force myself to lie still. Not as bad, but still far from my favorite activity. Kara stood up from checking on me.
Good news is that I don't think any of your ribs punctured a lung. Bad news is that I'm not a medical professional.
I nodded, then coughed. I was lying down on the floor. He'd insisted that I remain still until I got proper treatment.
You going to get help?
He shook his head.
Not until someone else gets here to watch over you, or more likely when Derek wakes up. There's too much of a chance that Saffron will come back.
I winced.
Could you beat him? If he does?
Kara shrugged.
Maybe. In the state when he fled, most likely. From what it sounds like, you wore him down pretty badly. I'm proud of you. But if he comes back anytime soon, he won't do it by himself. And 2 children of the tyrant?
He shook his head.
Not good odds, even for me.
I didn't like the sound of that in the slightest.
Is there anything we can do right now to make sure that if he does come back, it's, you know, less likely to be fatal for us?
Don't think so. As I'm sure you saw, there aren't a lot of people who can stand up to one of the tyrant's children. I don't know anyone local who can fight as well as Derek. Maybe I could grab his equipment for him. It looks like he just got out of bed and he doesn't have all his soul blade items on him.
Kara shook his head.
Frankly, he probably did better than I would have without a weapon.
I nodded at his logic. As a soul blade, Derek was almost as reliant on his equipment as I was. I didn't know if he could have beaten Saffron if he had all his items on him, but it probably would have been a closer match. I considered telling Karis to go get the items, but I hesitated. I didn't want to take the chance that Saffron would return in the few minutes Karis left me all alone. Before I had a chance to reply, a burning figure flew in through the back wall. I reached for my sword on my hip, only to realize that it wasn't there, and belatedly that the figure was just Delsis coming back. Delsis had reverted to his humanoid form, a red-skinned man with blazing wings and a tornado of flames surrounding him. He hovered just a few inches above the floor. He moved toward Derek's fallen body, tilting his head down, then turned his head toward Karras.
This is unacceptable.
I hear you, Karras sounded exasperated. Sorry, I couldn't get here in time.
Delsis let out a growl.
When I find the creature that did this, I will burn it until nothing but ash remains.
Delsis, I managed, before breaking into a coughing fit. The blazing figure turned its head toward me.
Young Cadence?
He replied. Derek and Alora need a healer. Do you know any nearby?
I am not well versed in the skills of mortals.
I pondered that. Sheridan Theus, can you find them?
I am aware of the home of Sheridan Theus. If they are present, I will retrieve them.
Delsis nodded, then changed into the shape of a blazing bird and flew back out, leaving another hole in the wall.
Well, at least now help is probably on the way, Karras remarked.
I sighed. Yeah. I managed to lift a hand to my forehead, wiping away sweat. How did you get powerful enough to fight people like that, Karras? The gap in our strength seems impossible to bridge. As you said, Derek is about as strong as humans get, and even he was at a disadvantage against Saffron.
I wouldn't completely agree with you there. Derek might have been weaker than Saffron, but if he had all his equipment, I think he could have forced Saffron to retreat like I did. Immortal beings like Saffron don't generally like to risk fighting anyone who stands any chance at causing them lasting harm.
Maybe. I didn't get the impression Saffron considered any of us a serious threat. But what if we wanted to win, rather than just force a stalemate? Is it even possible for a human to achieve the power necessary to do that? Karras shrugged a shoulder.
I have met a few humans with as much raw power as Saffron, but they're people who have found ways to extend their lifespan beyond normal human limits.
He's probably talking about people like Rin Jaden, I realized. So, if I wanted an equivalent amount of magical power to someone like Saffron, I'd need more than a human lifetime to get it?
Not necessarily, although that would be the most plausible route. You saw what Saffron could do, yes? The children of the Tyrant are all like that. They can absorb magic, not just for a short time either. They can steal power from items or from people in ways that make themselves permanently stronger.
He shook his head.
Many of them have had hundreds of years of practice doing just that.
Imagine not having to train in the slightest, just putting your hand on some hapless victim and taking all their strength. And there's no downside to that? No limit to the amount they can absorb? Karras shook his head.
Not that I've seen. They tend to specialize in a few types of magic, so maybe they have difficulty absorbing opposing magic types. It probably causes conflicts in their body if they have too much of two opposing types. But while that is a limit, it's not one that's particularly exploitable, when they're practically invincible and still have several types of magic to work with.
How would you beat one, then? You said you thought you might be able to.
I have something of an unfair advantage. He patted the sword on his hip. I can hurt them in ways they can't regenerate from. That doesn't mean I'd be guaranteed a victory, though. Many of them, especially the stronger ones, would have tactics that would allow them to wear me down without ever getting into my swinging range. Saffron isn't the most strategic of the bunch, which is why I'd stand a reasonable chance.
I gestured at the sword on his hip. Is that the reason you're so dangerous? I don't see you draw the sword very often. One of the six sacred swords, I'm guessing?
Not quite, but you're not far off. He shook his head. Anyway, the weapon is a part of it, but it's useless on its own. Hand it to an ordinary swordsman, and they'd just kill themselves with it.
He tapped a hand against his chest.
Much of my strength comes from practicing magic in ways that permanently reinforce my body. It's a very slow process. I use things like strength and resilience spells until my body acclimates to them and improves. You're already working on that yourself. Practicing that haste spell is going to make you faster and faster,
as your body acclimates to it. Another portion is learning techniques that are designed for single combat against opponents that are stronger than I am. We're training you for that, too.
But I'm sure a lot of people train like that.
Sure, Karras nodded. To some degree, at least. I'm sure you've noticed that training your haste spell is a painful and frustrating process. Many are going to abandon that, unless they have perception spells to make it easier, like you talked about wanting. Sometimes the most frustrating training methods bear the most fruit.
That made sense. But that can't be enough to catch up to someone like Saffron. If what you're saying is true, he could just drain a single Sunstone's mana and it'd be more power than I've earned in my life.
Fortunately, I don't think their mana absorption is 100% efficient. But your point remains true. There are two other reasons I'm as powerful as I am. One is that I'm constantly looking for shortcuts to make myself more powerful. Some of them work better than others. That flask of magic water you gave Sarah? It might have backfired, but that's the type of idea that I've made use of a dozen times. Some of them have taken me out of commission for a while. Others have nearly killed me. But I've survived to this point, and I'm stronger for it.
Karras shook his head.
Don't take that as encouragement to go that route, though. I have another reason why I'm as strong as I am, and it's a part of the reason I can afford to experiment.
You're not human, I guessed. You're, what, a god beast? Or something like it?
I suppose that's not a bad comparison, although I'm not sure I like it.
Well, it's a bit complicated.
Didn't even find out myself until I was an adult. That made for something of a confusing childhood.
I'd imagine.
Anyway, I have advantages and disadvantages because of it. In terms of sheer combat ability, it's mostly advantages. It's the other parts of life that I have more trouble with.
He gazed away, distant and contemplative. I let him think for a while. But not too long. Being incapacitated and in terrible pain was extremely boring. Your shortcuts. Would any of them work for me?
Not sure. Most of the ones I've used are directly related to what I am. A human wouldn't survive them. Maybe one of the crystals at the elemental temples?
He shook his head.
I don't think you're ready for that yet.
Karras folded his arms, sitting down next to me.
You might have been on the right track with the mana water.
I nodded weakly. I'd been planning to study it further, and similar things like enhancement elixirs, but that still seems so slow. I expected him to give me a speech about how slow, incremental growth was the safe way to go. That was, after all, the same kind of lecture I got from everyone else. That I had to pay my dues, train for years, and eventually, maybe, just maybe, I'd be good enough. Or perhaps he'd give me a lecture about how power wasn't what was important, and that I needed to grow as a person and learn to be responsible and avoid conflict. Or maybe he'd tell me that I had a pair of support attunements, and that I should never have been trying to fight someone directly at all. That it was complete folly for an enchanter to try to be a frontline combatant. Instead, he said,
Yeah, I wouldn't have had the patience for that approach after a fight with someone like Saffron either. Okay, let's think of something.
Really?
Sure. You think I want you to feel helpless? Accept your weakness? That's no way to live. I might not have an instant solution, but I'll try to help you figure something out. Don't get your hopes up about us finding something that's going to make you as strong as Saffron, of course. But there are ways to win battles without being as strong as your opponent.
Of course, but I can't expect to do that reliably. If Allura hadn't teleported me out of that area, I'd have been at Saffron's mercy. And it's not like that was an isolated incident. I'm routinely running into enemies that are too powerful to fight directly.
So, don't then.
I gave him a skeptical look. What am I supposed to do? Tell them to spare me so I can train for a year and give them a better fight later?
You'd be surprised how well that can work, but no, that's not what I meant.
Karras waved a hand dismissively.
I mean that you seem to be fixating on how to win in a one-on-one fight without any sort of situational advantages. That isn't playing to your strengths.
I tried not to feel offended by that. Is this where you tell me that I'm an enchanter and I should be focused on making items for fighters, not trying to fight?
That isn't what I was suggesting in the slightest.
He raised a hand to adjust his mask.
The strength I'm talking about is your flexibility. You're extremely creative in how you make use of the items and abilities at your disposal. I've been trying to teach you my style of fighting, but I don't think that's what suits you. You already have your own.
My own fighting style?
Sure. I trained for years to learn conventional fighting styles, just like you have. Sparring with dueling teachers, military training, that sort of thing. I was never a terrible swordsman, but I wasn't exceptional either. And being average was never acceptable. To excel, I had to learn to do what other people couldn't do. And I've already seen you do some of that. I just think you need to embrace it.
Karis was right. I'd been trying to copy the general approach to combat from other people my entire life. My father, Tristan, everyone who had ever trained me had ideas on how to approach combat. Many of these came from long years of training and tradition. But those fighting styles were built for guardians or shapers or elementalists, not for enchanters or arbiters. Even when I was training with Karis himself, I was focused on how I could use my own skills to make approximations of his, rather than developing something that suited me. You're right. I have a combination of attunements that virtually no one else does. I've barely bothered to think about how I can do something unique with that.
Karis grinned. Now you're getting it. What can you do that I can't?
I tapped my shield sigil. Make mana threads? I can use them to connect my sword and manipulate its aura.
That's excellent, but that's still finding a way to copy one of my techniques. You should still be doing things like that, but I think you can do more than just that. What's something you can do with that, or otherwise, that I can't do at all?
I took a moment to ponder that. I can attach a thread to my shield sigil so that I can recharge it in the middle of a fight.
Good. What else?
I considered that. I figured out that I can attach threads to other people's sigils and recharge them, too.
Excellent. That's much better. What else?
Maybe learn to make solid mana threads eventually? I can make solid mana crystals, so
that's an excellent answer. I can see a number of applications for it. What else?
Give me a minute to think.
Take your time. You're not going to make a new fighting style overnight.
I remembered talking to Karis for a bit, strategizing. Then the pain got worse, and the exhaustion overwhelmed me. I don't even remember making my way to my bedroom, but I must have eventually. When I opened my eyes later, I saw a familiar figure looming over me. Not Karis this time.
Morning, darling. You gave me quite the scare.
Sheridan Theus was sitting over me, their hands on my shirtless chest. I took just a moment to panic, trying to sit up. They put a firm hand on my shoulder and pushed me back down.
Not so suddenly, Corin. I'm still working on you.
Working? Oh. I managed to suppress my panic, settling back down. I was in an unfamiliar bed, but my pants were on and I was starting to recall what had just happened.
Right. Working. Injuries. That's why I'm...
Sheridan laughed.
What? Did you think I was taking advantage?
How scandalous. I'd kill me for that, even if Derek or Karis didn't get to it first.
Don't worry, Corin. You're safe. I'm just mending your ribs.
I gave Sheridan a slow nod.
Thanks.
I'm sorry, I just... Sheridan shook their head.
Don't worry about it in the slightest. I probably should have given you some warning. I was just trying to hold you down so you didn't move and make your injuries worse. You were tossing and turning quite a bit in your sleep.
Nightmares, I think. I gave them an apologetic look.
Sorry, I get those kind of a lot. Maybe we can find something for that later. In the meantime, though, just try to relax a bit while I finish this up.
Thanks. More of my memory was returning. Derek? Alora, are they...
Derek is recovering, but he'll be in rough shape for a while. I treated him first, though, so he's stable. My sister, unfortunately, is also alive. That's one winter wish that I'll have to work on a little harder.
Sheridan chuckled. You hate your sister that much?
Oh, no, dear. I love my sister. I just prefer to love her from as far away as possible. And the grave would, of course, be the most distant option.
Sheridan rolled their eyes.
Anyway, don't pay any mind to my jousting with Allura. It's a form of affection. I nodded. Even that slight movement sent a new surge of pain through my chest. I could understand what Sheridan meant. Sarah and I did quite a bit of teasing each other, even if it wasn't quite as extreme as what Sheridan was talking about. And Saffron? That monster never came back. But we've relocated to my house for the time being. There was too much of a risk that Saffron would send someone to that place, even if he didn't come himself. That made me feel somewhat better, at least. Is Kara still with us? Oh, that one has been watching you like a paternal phoenix, dear. Right now, I think he's pacing outside. I can get him when I'm done with this, if you'd like. Thanks. Has anyone told Sarah that I'm safe? Sheridan shook their head. No, but I do know a wayfarer nearby. We can send a message later. You should stay here for a while, at least for a few days. I frowned at that. I'd like to go check on where Saffron first arrived. Some of those people he hurt might still be alive.
Allura's people? Didn't they abduct you just a bit?
Sure, but that doesn't mean I want to leave them to die out there. If Saffron went back... Sheridan shook their head. If Saffron went back, there'd be nothing left for us to save. If Saffron didn't go back to them, though, perhaps some of them may have lived. But it's been hours at this point. They'd have moved to somewhere else if they were in any condition to do so. I'd still like to make sure they get help if they're alive. Sheridan shrugged a shoulder. I'm sure Allura will see to it when she wakes. You don't seem too concerned. Sheridan laughed. Concerned? About a bunch of people who grabbed a teenager in the middle of an exam to use him for a convoluted scheme? No, Corin. I'm not concerned about the fate of that sort of person. I think it's sweet that you're kind enough to care, but if you think any one of those people would have given you the same kind of thought, you're sorely mistaken. Doesn't matter. I'm not them. Will you look into it for me? Sheridan sighed. Fine. I'll look into survivors, but only because you're such a darling. Now, will you do me the kindness of shutting up for a few minutes so I can work? Yes, right, of course. Shutting up was harder than I expected. This was not due to boredom. It was because knitting my ribs back together with magic was considerably more painful than I expected. I considered asking Sheridan to stop and just relying on the Silver Phoenix sigil or getting the Ring of Regeneration back to fix the injuries, but fixing bone damage with regeneration could have taken weeks. I didn't have that kind of time. So I gritted my teeth through the pain of bones and cartilage knitting in my chest, all the while thinking about a single idea. I needed to be stronger. I couldn't promise myself I'd never lose a fight again. That was absurd, unrealistic in a world with monsters as strong as Saffron. But I could dedicate myself to making strategies for next time. Maybe then I wouldn't feel so rushing useless.
Chapter 19. Emergency Preparedness. In spite of my best intentions, I spent the rest of the day in bed. Broken bones weren't exactly the kind of injury I could shrug off, even with magical healing. The following day, Sheridan visited again, and I confirmed that they had contacted Sarah. That would help ensure Sarah didn't panic and try to launch some kind of rescue mission, at least. When I was up and walking, the first thing I did was pay a visit to Allura Theus. I wasn't clear on if we were in her home or Sheridan's, but either way, she was there. The guards outside her room gave me some side eye when I asked to see her. The guards inside her room were even less thrilled. Allura dismissed them.
Leave us. He's no threat to me.
Not yet, maybe. Allura was resting in a tremendous canopy bed, sheets pulled up to conceal her lower body. She set a book aside, sitting up to turn toward me.
Cadence, I expected you to come by at some point.
She turned aside and coughed loudly, then raised a hand to her throat.
We may need to make this brief. Talking is still challenging.
I raised an eyebrow at that. Mana scarring? She nodded.
That last spell was not a simple thing, even for me.
Sheridan is treating you, I assume?
If you can call what my sibling does, treatment, yes.
Allura shook her head.
But surely you didn't come here to inquire about my health.
No, I folded my arms.
You have a way to get me to Tristan. Now would be a good time. Alora laughed, then coughed again. She raised a hand in a gesture to wait, continued coughing for a time, and then spoke again.
After what we just went through, you must be joking.
Not in the slightest. I've been waiting for years to see Tristan again. I could use some real answers. And you were right. There are some questions only he can answer for me.
Perhaps. But I can't help you. Not right now.
She folded her hands. I barely survived Saffron. If I'm not mistaken, you didn't fare much better. I don't feel like waiting. Alora sighed.
We can't always get what we want, darling. Let me be clearer. I can't help you, even if I wanted to. I'm too weak to teleport anyone right now, and I'd need that skill to get us to Tristan in the Spire.
I gave her a half nod. That made sense, at least. How long?
Don't rush. It will only lead to disaster.
Alora paused.
But that's not the answer you're looking for. A few weeks, at the least. Maybe months.
You hurt yourself that badly? It wasn't impossible. I'd seen how long it was taking Sarah to recover from mana scars.
No, it's not entirely that. There's the issue of needing a team of climbers that I can trust. You saw my last team.
I nodded, putting things together. The four people you sent to grab me, yourself, and me. That's six.
And now I know that one of those people was a traitor. Michelle and Woods are dead. Thomas survived, but he's still critically injured.
Were they actually Valian soldiers? Alora shrugged a shoulder.
More or less. They finished their mandatory service and were assigned to my house guard. Legally, they retained their military ranks while in my service. So, not conventional soldiers, but the uniforms were real.
Right. She's a member of the Council of Lords. Having soldiers to protect her makes sense. And abducting a student wasn't something they had any concerns about?
You're looking at it all wrong. This was never supposed to be a conflict. I signed all the paperwork to have you removed from the test early. You were practically done anyway. You'll be given a passing grade. The school chancellor wasn't pleased, but I told her it was government business. Which it is, although she wouldn't like the details.
I leaned up against the nearby wall. You called it an extraction before. What were you extracting me from? Is there some kind of threat still out in the forest?
Nothing like that. It's not likely that they'll act this soon, but I knew something would be happening within the next few months, and that Tristan would be displeased if you were injured or killed as a result. So, I was going to bring you to him. For safety.
And for some credit with Tristan, I presume? Maybe to make up for the mistake of telling Derek about your plans? Alora smirked.
You're more like your brother than I expected. Always assuming the worst of people.
She paused. Then added,
But you're not wrong.
I didn't particularly like what that description implied about Tristan, but I wasn't going to press the issue. I had more important questions. What if I provided a group of people to climb the spire with you?
Oh, darling, your group of children isn't going to be sufficient for my standards. Kind of you to offer, though.
I felt my hands tighten, but I released them. Giving tells to show that she was getting under my skin was not to my advantage. No students, then. Derek, Karis, yourself, and myself make four. Sheridan would make five. For the sixth, Lord Teft, perhaps.
I can't even begin to tell you how terrible of a plan that is. No, wait. Yes, I can. Let's begin with Derek, shall we? He's actively working against Tristan. Bring him along. He's not going to help you have a tearful reunion. He'll want to settle the score.
She raised two fingers.
Second. Karis Salirian. I don't know how you've managed to end up working with one of the most dangerous people on the continent, but if you think you understand his motivations, you're sorely mistaken. He'd certainly make climbing the spire easier, but I'm not convinced he'd let any of us live when he's reached his goals.
Three fingers.
Sheridan. You couldn't afford their help.
Four fingers.
Lord Teft. Same problem with Derek. He wouldn't support what Tristan is doing. Moreover, he's less useful.
Five fingers.
Me. I'm in no shape to climb the spires right now, and in frankness, neither are you. Not for a few weeks, at least.
I took a breath. Fine. Not immediately, then.
But you seem to believe there was a good reason to get me out of here, and I assume you still want Tristan's goodwill.
Certainly. But my risks are calculated ones.
Now that I'm aware that a servant of the tyrant managed to infiltrate my household guard, I'm going to need to dedicate my efforts to vetting everyone. I'm sure you understand the need for such a precaution.
I nodded. Do you know how Carter slipped in?
I hired Carter personally more than 2 years ago, and I can assure you, having seen both of her shoulders, she did not have a tattoo at the time. It would have had to have been recent.
I pondered that. Could that have something to do with the Blackstone Bandits? Alora sighed.
Carter has nothing to do with them. I know what you're thinking, but my contact with the Blackstone Bandits was brief and unrelated.
She sounded annoyed that I'd made the connection. Maybe I was hitting close to home, or maybe she just didn't like my assumptions. From her expression, I judged it would be unwise to push that line of conversation further, so I switched approaches. Could Carter have concealed the mark on her back with an illusion?
Certainly, and she probably was doing that for a while. But I have ways of seeing through most illusions. That might have kept her from being noticed on a day-to-day basis by others, but...
Alora shook her head.
The tattoo must have been recent, which implies she was compromised recently, likely by Saffron himself.
Could the tyrant cultist be working with Tristan?
Alora frowned.
Unlikely. He did mention a powerful patron, but no, I doubt it. It's more likely that Saffron had my household infiltrated for other reasons. Perhaps he knows what I was involved with, but it's more likely he simply wanted eyes on a member of the Council of Lords.
It was comforting to think that Tristan probably hadn't sunk to working with followers of the tyrant, but I couldn't count on that. And that bit about a powerful patron? That was worrying.
Okay. You need to recover. Is there a way I could get into the spire without your help?
Alora shook her head.
It's locked. I have a key, but only I can use it. And even if you got inside the tower, you'd never find Tristan without me. Simply climbing up isn't going to get you to him.
I didn't miss her emphasis. Does that imply that Tristan is in the subterranean levels rather than up high?
Alora raised a hand to rub at her neck. I suspected that overusing her mana had affected her throat much like it had for Sarah.
I'm not going to give you that kind of information. I will escort you to him when it's time, by my own methods and for my own reasons.
She coughed again, then sighed.
I'm losing my voice again. I'll say this much. I'm grateful that you uncovered a traitor in my house, even if it ended as poorly as it did. I do intend to get you to Tristan, but you'll need to be patient.
One more thing. Sorry. That spell you used. You have a contract with the god Phoenix, don't you?
Alora smiled.
I suppose the name of the spell gave it away, didn't it? Keep that to yourself, would you? There are very few of us with god-beast contracts.
I can think of one more. Could you have summoned Suzaku?
Ah, I see what you're thinking.
Alora shook her head.
The god-beasts generally don't allow people to summon them outside of their own spire, even in simulacra form. Exceptions tend to have a cost that's measured in lives. Even if I'd been willing to sacrifice myself, I wouldn't have had enough mana left to manage a true summoning. And a simulacrum of the god Phoenix would have been just as susceptible to his mana absorption as any other summon.
I nodded at her explanation. That also means you wouldn't be able to summon Suzaku if he arrives again.
Yes. And just so you understand, that was a sapphire-level spell. There's nothing stronger. Even I couldn't have cast it on my own.
She raised a hand, showing her single remaining mana crystal ring.
I don't know of anything capable of doing more damage. We shouldn't antagonize him again.
Well, if nothing else... That's finally some confirmation that sapphire-level abilities exist. I don't know if that means there are sapphire-level attuned, but it stands to reason that there could be. I rubbed at my chin. I understand. But I have a feeling that there will be consequences for our fight with Saffron, and I'd like to get ahead of that. If nothing else, Tristan needs to be aware of what happened.
You have a way of ensuring that, do you not?
I frowned. I'll see what I can do.
Good. Now leave me. We'll speak again when I'm in a more presentable condition.
I nodded. I wish you a swift recovery.
For your sake as well as mine, I'm certain.
I turned to leave. You're not wrong. When I had a moment alone, I checked Trials of Judgment. No new replies from Tristan. I was angry about that. Frustrated. Maybe a little scared, too. Was he failing to reply because I wasn't important? Was he toying with me? Or was he in trouble? Hurt? Dead? I had no way of knowing. I wrote him a message. Dear mysterious brother entity, be advised that an agent of the Tyrant of Gold infiltrated one of the households of one of your former allies. The agent has been deterred for the time being, but not without casualties. A child of the tyrant was involved. Saffron. If you are working with these people, I strongly urge you to reconsider. Saffron was clearly unstable at best. If you are not working with them, be careful. Corn Cadence. I had so much more that I wanted to say, but for the time being, formality was a defense for my sanity. A solid shell to prevent my fears from breaking through and ravaging my mind. And in truth, I still wasn't sure I was ready for Tristan's answers. Most of the next day was painful. Slow. Boring. I was eager for my friends to get back from the test, but the train schedule meant that they wouldn't be arriving until late at night. House Theus seemed a little more proper than Derek's household had been. They wouldn't even let Karis and me train on the rooftop for some reason. There are training rooms for that, they said. So unimaginative. I did spend a little bit of time practicing, but I didn't have the energy for much. It turns out that having your ribs broken makes a lot of things more difficult, like just breathing properly. Even with the worst of the damage repaired, it felt like everything hurt for a while. I focused what energy I could on what Karis and I had talked about, finding a way of fighting that suited me rather than just copying other people. I'd been picking up so many new techniques throughout the year that I hadn't really put much effort into figuring out how I could use my various skills in tandem with each other for a greater result. The keystone for that was expanding my training with mana threads. I'd already figured out that I could connect a thread of mana to a shield sigil to recharge it. That was a great start. What could I do with my other items? And what else could I do with a shield sigil beyond just recharging it? I experimented with a number of different possibilities. Could I project mana threads at a distance to interact with items I wasn't carrying? The answer was yes, but my accuracy was terrible. I'd need to practice before it was practical. Could I make solid mana threads, like how I made mana crystals? I definitely could, but they were so fragile that they didn't have much utility. I'd have to practice with that more to figure out if I could make any kind of use out of them. The biggest find? I could connect two items to each other. Most items didn't have compatible mana types, so shifting mana from one place to another wasn't particularly useful. But for cases like the shield sigils, they were virtually identical. When I was in a test with the remaining mana of the standard issue sigil determining my success or failure, being able to near instantly refill my shield sigil by moving mana from the other sigil would be tremendously useful. The combat applications were potentially significant too. Could I channel mana from an item straight into the aura-generating rune on my sword, changing the element of the aura? I didn't have any good way of testing that one. I retrieved Selyse Lian and tried tinkering with it, but I couldn't pull any of the mana out of the runes. I still hadn't figured out how all the runes worked, but that implied that one of them was an anti-tampering measure. Knowing what I knew now, that wasn't a bad idea. If I could figure out how to remotely alter the functions of item runes, someone else could too. I spent much of the day working on researching anti-tampering runes. Eventually, I found a design that wouldn't allow anyone to modify the enchantments on an item unless their personal mana signature matched the mana stored in another rune. That would let me continue to tinker with my own items, but prevent any external modifications, at least in theory. Someone could still destroy the anti-tampering rune or overpower it with a stronger spell, but that would be considerably more work. I only had time to put an anti-tampering rune on my silver phoenix sigil
before evening had arrived and I got confirmation that my platoon was heading back home. I went to meet them at the train station. Patrick rushed over as soon as he saw me.
You're okay?
I nodded. Yeah, at least for the most part. The others followed right behind him. Sarah grabbed me into a hug. I awkwardly reciprocated. She pulled away after that, wearing a slight smile that concealed a well of other emotion.
Beneath saw the attack, or the beginning of it at least. He went to get help, but by the time he came back, you were already gone. And there were just bodies.
I winced. I'm sorry, Sarah. I'm okay, though. She looked skeptical. Really, I'm okay. I mean, mostly. Shaken, obviously, but I'll live.
I won't press. She folded her arms. But it's good to see you.
It's good to see you, too. I gave my best effort at a smile, which wasn't very good. Still, I meant what I said. I also didn't want to think about Saffron anymore, so I changed the topic. How did the rest of the test go?
I'm afraid your departure was the last twist in our little story, and it's the only thing the others would talk about on the way back. Really, brother, you always have to be the center of attention.
It was a good attempt at sounding like she was back to her usual teasing, but her tone was off. Still, I appreciated the effort, so I played along. I try to be consistent, and I'm sure you were glad to have a day or two away from me, given how irritating I am.
Of course.
She wiped her eyes.
Obviously.
Marissa came up behind her, reaching out awkwardly and then pulling back.
Hi, Corin.
I realized that she'd stopped because of our last exchange, and I gave her a nod of gratitude. I extended an arm and offered her a half-hug. That was more tolerable to me, and she seemed to want the physical connection, even if it wasn't exactly the kind of reassurance I personally enjoyed. It's good to see you, Mara. She accepted the half-hug and stepped back.
So, is there anyone you need me to hit for you?
She punched one fist into her other palm. I laughed. Maybe. I'll explain when we get back to Alora's place. Marissa blinked.
Alora? Is that a girl's name?
Patrick grinned.
Ooh, have you been...
I rolled my eyes. It's not like that. She's more like Derek's girlfriend, if anything.
Aw,
Patrick chuckled.
I was hoping for some good gossip.
I shook my head. No gossip. But I do have a lot to tell you all. I glanced from side to side. Where's Jin?
He went back separately, Sarah explained. Said he had some business to attend to.
Well, that's not ominous or anything. I nodded, but I felt oddly disappointed. Wasn't he worried about me? I dismissed the concern. He had his own ways of handling worry, just like I did. If he wanted to check on me, he could do it any time. I waved toward a nearby carriage where Karis was waiting. Let's head out. I'll explain everything when we get to a secure area.
Secure? Sarah asked. This is going to be one of your stories that changes everything, isn't it?
I considered that.
No. Just our living arrangements.
The manor we were staying in belonged to Sheridan Theus, and it was on the opposite side of the city from the university. That meant that going back to school from there would have been a bit of a trek, but we were officially done with our exams, so it was a suitable place to stay for the few remaining weeks of the school year. In truth, we probably could have gone back to our respective homes at that point if we'd wanted to. There would be closing ceremonies for the year as well as the winter ball, but neither of those were strictly mandatory to attend. I explained everything that had happened to me to the others. No omissions. They were deep enough in this situation now that they deserved to know. After that, we took trips with Karis and a mostly recovered Derek back to Derek's manor to retrieve our things. On one of those trips, I stopped Derek and asked him a question. Who made the magic emergency stick that you gave me? Derek paused in his step.
An old friend. Why?
Because Saffron's agent in Alora's group had one that was almost identical. They used it to signal Saffron. That's how he showed up to attack us in the first place. Derek spent a moment making some colorful curses, at least one of which involved that other enchanter doing things with a hamster that sounded both awkward and anatomically impossible. After that, though, he turned to me.
I'll look into that. They sell primarily to climbers out of the local casino. They probably just sold the stick without any idea of who they were dealing with. But I'll find out.
I nodded. Any chance you'd be willing to give me a name?
No, he shook his head. This one is personal. Trust me, I'll deal with it. And if they do end up being involved, I'll let you know what I find out.
I didn't like that, but we all had our secrets, and I understood Derek's need to keep some things to himself. Okay. Is the stick that you gave me safe for me to hold on to?
Yes. It's unlikely the item itself is compromised. It's more that my friend might just be selling to an organization they shouldn't be.
The most important part of that exchange was that Derek had seemed genuinely surprised. I'd wanted to know if he'd knowingly been working with someone connected to the tyrant, and from his response, it sounded unlikely. That was good enough for me. I nodded to Derek and we continued walking back to the manor. I'd already picked up the most important of my own items, Selyse Leanne and the Trials of Judgment book, but I still had a few other miscellaneous bits and pieces to move over. I also stopped at the area where I'd hit Saffron with Ceres. As I'd suspected, there was a dried blood stain. I collected what I could of the blood in a vial. I had no intention of summoning Saffron with the Jaden box, but I knew blood could be used for other things, like tracking spells. After that, I did some thinking about where I wanted to stay. Staying on House Theus's lands would not be a long-term arrangement. There were too many servants, guards, and other people I didn't necessarily trust. It wasn't just a personal home like Derek's house. This was a full estate, complete with 3 different houses, an expansive garden, and even a swimming pool. That made it far less personal and far less enticing to me. Going back to either my own humble dorm room or Derek's house was not an option, though. Not when Saffron could show back up at any time. I was concerned that even with the degree of security at House Theus, we were still woefully unprepared for another attack by a threat of that magnitude. The hope seemed to be that Saffron simply wouldn't know where to look for us, and that the wards on the house would block any efforts at divination. I didn't find either of those things particularly likely to be true, but I agreed that being in a different house made it less likely Saffron would find us immediately, at least. Karis assured us that if Saffron hadn't attacked again immediately, he probably wasn't going to anytime soon. But that still didn't excuse a lack of planning for if and when he did decide to finish what he'd started. I spent most of the next 2 weeks working on my own solution to that problem. Communication devices. I made a series of voice-activated necklaces that could be used to send a message to anyone else with a matching necklace. The flexibility to connect with any other necklace was tricky to sort out, but I made it work similarly to the function-changing runes I'd seen on the tiles in Tef's dueling tests. Similar items existed on the market, but making them myself was a fifth of the cost, and even then it was still expensive. Fortunately, Alora and Derek provided the necessary funds for the crystals. In total, I made 4 devices. I gave 3 of them to Derek, Alora, and Karis. I kept the last for myself. My other project was testing the circlet I'd made in Vellum's class from modifying the return bell. I couldn't go into the spire to test it properly in there, but the campus had test areas saturated with mana that were designed to mimic the effects of the spire. They were used for testing a number of items that normally only worked in the spires, including standard return bells. My circlet didn't work, plain and simple. Mostly because it was missing a proper anchor. The one from the original return bell didn't work with it. Much of my remaining time in the following weeks was just getting that device to function. To do that, I had to add a new targeting rune to both the circlet and the anchor. Targeting runes were used to store the target of an item that needed to be able to aim for a certain location when it was activated. In the case of a teleportation item, a targeting rune was used to set the destination of the teleportation spell. Without one, the results would simply be random. By putting matching targeting runes on both the circlet and the anchor, I ensured that the circlet would always teleport to the anchor's location, as long as the anchor was within range. The rest of that time went into upgrading it to work like a jump bell, so it could be used outside of the spire. I was only able to copy the runes for the most basic form of jump bell. I simply didn't have the mana or the control for a higher level enchantment. That meant the teleportation effect on the circlet was limited to about half a mile in range.